Okay. I was just going to say that I support you guys because I knew you as friends before the show, and I like what you're doing. I think you guys have good chemistry, both physically and...
You can't see the body language.
Everything fits in.
That's... What you in the listening audience don't realize is that Mark and Zach are sitting on one of those laps talking into the same microphone. Ass to ass.
Yeah, wow. It's like the human centipede up in this room. Welcome, Opinionators. We're here, episode 3. How you doing, Mark?
We go back in time and give our opinions to everyone.
That's what we do. How you doing, Mark?
I'm good.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. You know, as always, I'm Zach Rusty Venture Arneman. Follow, you know, with the ever-popular Mark, I can't believe it's not Butter Smith. And it's a huge day today. We have our first guest.
Are you Rusty Venture the character or Rusty Venture the act?
The act.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Watch Venture Brothers, everybody. It's good. It's good stuff. We have not one guest for the first time, but two. I'm really excited.
It's extra special.
Yes. We've got Tim, I don't have a good nickname for him, Volker, and Tony Dubstep Wash. How you guys doing today? How's everyone doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show, Z.
That's Tim. Tony, how you doing?
Hello.
Oh, that's Tony.
That's Mike presence.
He's ready to talk. He's ready to talk. No, it's been, you know, there's been a lot going on in the past week since we did the last episode. A lot of people coming out of the woodwork listening, and we thank you for it. We put up another poll, which I'm proud to say went 50-50.
I can't believe it went 50-50.
We did, we did on the website, we did who would win in a fight, reading Rambo or Conan the Librarian, and it went 50-50. So thanks for that, everybody. We were going to read comments, but I think this episode this week is just going to be too jam-packed, so maybe next week we'll read all your
lots
comments.
Lots of constructive criticism in our comments.
Yeah, well, thank you, Paul. Okay, thank you, Paul. We'll let you know when the show changes to our sixth sense, Paul.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I guess we'll have to read the comment.
Yeah.
Damn it, I have to pull it up. So this will.
Oh, we're going to actually read his comments? This
will be edited time.
Okay, good.
So he trashed you already?
Well, he didn't really trash us.
He gave us his opinion. I can't fault him for giving us his opinion.
Cents.
Yeah, he just certainly did, and I believe that's how he starts off the message.
But who is Paul? Do we know Paul?
Paul works with us at the Miser.
He's a systems admin, which means he walks around and tries not to do anything all day.
I'm just
like most of the people that work there.
I'm wondering which one of your mothers put that comment up on iTunes about you guys being like Zeus's right hand.
Sweet Ambrosia. That was no one's mother. That was Dan Huffman from the Bob and Dan cast. Yep. Shameless plug one of the episodes.
That was a nice comment.
Absolutely.
That drew me to the show.
If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be doing this. So.
No, we wouldn't.
All right, well, here's what Paul said, you son of a bitch. Paul writes, here's my 2 cents. The Absolutely Jar needs to have a ticker of total coins on your site. If you're actually keeping a total, that would be a funny little thing at the beginning or ending of each episode to throw out. I'm going to stop right there and be like, Paul, no.
I don't think so.
You don't need to know how much money
you're
throwing in this jar.
Yeah, and if you're really interested, you can keep track of your damn self.
Mm-hmm.
Although
fair enough.
You
that's
buy new microphones.
Yeah, that. Well, yeah. I would. I'm
maybe
sure
that,
our guests.
Maybe that's be our absolutely jargos too.
I'm sure our guests would appreciate if we had nice mics.
Or at least
mics.
Mic stands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our poor guys. They got to hold the mics to their face all the time.
I feel like a rapper.
That's good. You could. Paul also
first
writes.
First name greatest. Last name Wash.
No, it's like JCPenney's in December.
Nothing.
I
nothing.
Totally got dead silent.
Nothing.
Oh, no.
I didn't know what you said. It.
What?
I wasn't listening. Wait, I was reading.
Don't worry about it.
No, good. Fair enough. It's good.
You can clap back.
Paul continues to write a bunch of other shit. Paul, we thank you for writing in. We thank everybody for writing in. We'll read comments next week.
You can come back as the opinionator and give it to me later.
Yeah. Before we move on, I gotta meet. I promise Kevin.
So you
were
Sarah Connor in this particular?
No.
Okay. Good.
I miss what's going on here.
You're the opinionator, and you're going to give it to him later.
Yeah.
So he's Sarah Connor.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Nice. I just want to get this out before we tangent any further. Hey. Kevin, thanks for the movie.
Yes, thank you, Kevin.
We haven't watched it yet, but we're going to.
Which movie?
Redneck Zombies.
I learned how to pronounce his name correctly, though.
Redneck Zombies.
Have you seen that dubstep?
Oh, yeah.
Have you?
He commented on it earlier.
Yeah, we're going to watch that.
No, I want to know.
What was the one in the middle of that shit sandwich?
Hard Rock Zombies. It looks like it was filmed in Betamax, and it's got a picture of Hitler on the back.
Yeah. Well, or a poor Hitler wannabe.
Well, yeah.
You know, the dude's got the mustache, but that's about it.
You've seen these films?
Hitler.
Never Hard Rock Zombies, but Black Sheep's a good movie.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward.
I'm really looking forward. Tony
is an aficionado on zombie movies.
Yeah, I was about to ask. Like, are we?
We don't really know who these people are, do we?
That there's a famous guest on right now.
Shameless plug number two.
Yeah, nobody knows who these people are.
Tony's famous.
I thought we were talking about Tim.
No, Tim. Tim's not that famous. Not yet.
Riding my coattails.
Tim's problem is you don't want to admit that you're famous for being the 2 girls, 1 cup guy.
Wait, was he the cameraman at that shoot?
Yeah,
I got nothing for that. I thought you made
some money off of that.
No,
we were talking about that earlier today. I'm not sure that anybody made any money on that at all.
No, dude, it's internet porn. Somebody makes money on it.
Somebody. Tim wasn't the cameraman. Tim was the dishwasher on
the
set.
The budget was like four dollars, a solo cup and two things of pudding. Come on.
That's called movie magic.
Yes.
And that's what I'm driving at. 3 out of the 4 of the people in this room, you know, attempt to be a part of that movie magic. And that's how me and Tim know Tony. Tony directed a little film year back called A Chance in Hell. It was a Nazi zombie movie filmed right here in South Elgin.
Please watch the trailer if you haven't already. Mm. It's a terrific trailer. It's a great film.
Thank you, Tim.
You too.
Thank you, Tim.
That was a good plug right there.
Tim should start his own show, which I've been pushing him. I've been pushing him to do. I've been pushing Tim to start.
It might be
kind
of boring.
Thank you so much, buddy. It was going to be just on music, but you know we might have to investigate other avenues. I was still okay with just coming in occasionally and doing like a little shameless music elitist moment, as Zach was called.
Yeah, we're working on that.
We haven't named that yet. That's the first time our listeners have ever heard about a segment. We actually haven't had a segment yet.
No,
we're working on that, folks.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't listen to the second episode. I'm going to be
you son of
you
a bitch.
Get out.
I'm a bigger fan than you are.
Yeah.
You've listened to both?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Today. Man. He listened to them today.
Oh, well, that's just doing your homework before the show.
And I commented on, I didn't even know I was going to be on the show tonight. I listened to it because Zach called me, wanted to use my computer. And I was like, hell yeah, I want to listen to the episodes, listen to both of them.
That's called networking, people.
Yeah.
That's original networking before Facebook.
And you tell 2 friends, and they tell 2 friends.
I saw Wayne's World 2 today. I don't know if that's a Wayne's World 1 or 2 reference.
Why did you see Wayne's World 2 today?
Because it was on TV, and I love both of them.
And so you watched it on TV?
Even though he owns both
DVDs.
Yeah,
it's like you own this movie.
Yeah, that's fine.
I can't do that. My girlfriend does it all the time. She'll put a movie on that's on effects. We watched American Pie the other day. American Pie is so edited on
American.
Yeah.
American Pie is not a good movie anymore.
Yeah, no, thank you, because I was just about to go off on that. Like, none of those movies were ever
They don't hold
to
up.
I
no,
don't think
no.
they hold up at
Pie?
All.
The first one was totally a good movie.
For 1999?
The first one, I guess.
But all the jokes were ruined by the time I was actually old enough to see.
Oh, that's your fault.
See, and that's the thing is that, yeah, I mean, those movies came out when I was in college. So that was like the first one came out my senior year of high school. So that was like totally my age. That shit was funny. And I know I'm a lot older than you guys, but you know.
Tony's 73 years old.
And counting.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Tony.
Thank you.
He's going to be the next Jack LaLanne, God rest his soul.
You know, that's the one thing I got to comment on. In the last 2 episodes, you talk a lot about dead people that nobody's ever heard of other than you.
Yeah, we're good. Okay.
Come on. You now have to know who Pete Postlewaite was.
You said the movies that he was in, but he gave Jack or James
the bag of worms.
I don't remember that. I mean,
all right, well, you saw
Inception.
Inception,
though.
Yes.
He's the dying father
in
Inception.
He's Maurice Fisher. He's the dying patriarch.
I saw that last summer. I don't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, guys. Come on.
That's that Alzheimer's kicking in.
He was Kobayashi, too, right?
Yeah, he was Kobayashi in The Usual Suspects.
Oh, yeah.
Kobayashi.
Yeah. Not the mug. He wasn't the mug.
They drank out of him.
And inherited his goodness.
So Mark's got this secret topic. Oh, I have that, secret topics. That I'm not entirely sure what it is. I don't know if it's going to work with our guests.
Yeah, who knows?
This could be hit or miss. But
I took a little piece of paper. Which also
look at
happens
that.
To have my shopping list. On
yeah,
it.
That's last week. Mark brought last week. Mark brought nothing to the table. This time he brings a shopping list with something written on it.
I brought nothing to the table, but it was the most interesting segment. Thank you, and I've gotten the most questions about it. That's too bad.
Well, that's the last time I planned for anything for this damn show.
Quality. It's quality over quantity.
Sorry,
This is on you here.
No. So I ran into a bunch of stuff recently that has me questioning my...
You shouldn't be running with your eyes closed.
Funny.
I'm sorry.
made me question some things. And I asked you this earlier, and I'm just going to dive right into it. Do you think men can sniff out when other men are interested in their ladies?
I'm not throwing a quarter in for this one, but absolutely.
And I don't mean like the blatant, like I'm obviously hitting on your woman. Like
the
more subterfuge machination.
Kind of. I think even by default, like you know,
that's
you
what
know,
I was like, and I was like, or is it just in general?
I
but
think
you
it's
just
in
think
general.
Your girlfriend's awesome, so everyone should think your girlfriend's awesome.
I would definitely say that if you've got, you know, if you're at some sort of social function and you see some dude talking to her, like even if you know that it's just like, you know, to be generally
cordial.
Social,
well, I mean, like,
cordial.
Yeah,
thank you very much. Just to be generally cordial, I still raise the stink eye just a little bit. Like,
just a little.
What the hell is going on over there?
You got to flex.
Even if she's like, "Oh, this is my friend," blah 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 blah. Oh
man, I mean, I think that Family Guy episode or a couple of different Family Guy episodes have taught us about that. The one where Olivia and Stewie, you know, where she's got the writer friend. Like, it doesn't matter who
Alan
it
Alda.
Is or what's going on or blah blah blah. Like, you're gonna totally be a little bit up on that and be like, "Hey, what's up? I'm this girl's boyfriend."
Flex. Tony, thoughts?
Tony?
I was just going to make a Family Guy reference.
Oh, we'll do it anyway.
It passed.
No, that would have been fine. We have editing.
Is it a jackal?
It's a jackal? It's a jackal.
Yeah, actually, yes. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about men who are jackals and fucking... They're like the little compy dinosaurs from the beginning of The Lost World, Jurassic Park. They just gnaw at fucking anything that comes their way.
I still don't understand why that guy didn't just climb a tree. You know, he kept running in the pond.
Well, that's Peter Stormare. He's like my second favorite actor of all
Peter
time.
Peter Stormare, the guy that was in Fargo?
I don't know either. Don't look at me exasperated. Like, I don't know either.
And you're a film director, Tony. You don't know who Peter Stormare is?
That doesn't mean I need to know the IMDb history of every person on the earth.
I can't help it. It's what I do, baby.
I'm a cook, and I don't know like where indigenous food comes from. Like,
I'm a compendium of useless knowledge. That's why I started a podcast. I want to get that knowledge out to the world. There's got to be a market
all
for
three
it.
Of the listeners.
Zach also got
all
hey,
three or four.
We have way more. We have way more
but,
than
but,
three
but
four.
I have more. Right I have more. You. I have more.
Yes, I know. Okay. Continue.
Okay. So continuing. So what do you think about? And I know you ran into this almost specifically when you moved into this state. But
are you talking to me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, continue.
To you, even though you're not looking at me.
Continue.
But like when. What do you think about the guys that lay claim to their women?
Oh, you're talking about the 20, 19-year-old man, you know?
Yeah, that let's be engaged for 4.5 years.
Let me clarify here. Mark is born and raised this area. He's in his mid-20s. Tony, you've been born and raised here, too, is right? All right, now me and Tim, we have both not...
Wanderers.
We've lived here for 2 to 3 years.
Zach is not a wanderer.
I'm not a wanderer.
Hey,
no.
Three states, that
Tim,
qualifies
Tim's
as wandering.
Tim's a wanderer. In the grand scheme of the locals of Illinois, me and Tim have seen the world. Okay?
Very true.
Jersey's not the world.
Thank you. Hey, no. According to national media, Jersey is the world.
Hey, let's not get on a Jersey bashing tangent. That's episode... I've got that planned for episode 7.
Oh, good.
Okay? The Jersey Shore just... Season 4 is going to Italy. We're talking about that next week. Moving on. The people... Yes, there's a big problem here with the 19, 20-year-olds dating their high school sweetheart, and then like they're goofy looking fucks like me with chicks that like I couldn't pay them to bang me unless they're actual real hookers. But they're not hookers, they're just sweet upstanding women. They put a ring on them and they're married, and then by 25, 26, they're divorced, and that's when people like me got to clean up the mess. But unlike the most men in the state, they're jackals, and they wait and they pray.
Well, I think jackals is a completely appropriate term, because that's exactly how I feel like a ring is when you're like 19 or 18 or whatever
like,
it is.
We're like, not ready to be married, but this is mine. You know?
Yeah,
this
exactly.
is mine.
I'm just marking my territory. Hello.
That's what I'm driving at. Tim said it way better than I can. Yeah, there's a big problem in this state with that. Leaving a nice, upstanding 24-year-old male who didn't go to high school or college in this state, picking up the pieces. Listen,
and I love leftovers. And I love how Zach is like, I think it's like people of the state. I really feel like it has more to do with the fact that we're finally getting into that age demographic where people are like looking at. I think that that's the same anywhere. But
yeah,
just
no,
be
like, it's the damn. Well, yes, I mean, like in the high school I went to in Jersey, like half of those people are married to the people in my graduating class.
Right.
So,
I mean, it's a lot of the same. Obviously, it's the same for me because I live here. But
yeah, well, you guys are just a spot older than me and Tim. But yeah, you're right. It's definitely the generation. It's we're at that age. You know, I think I'm just gonna have to come to terms that I might have to date a girl who's got 17 kids.
We only know one of those.
You just gotta meet a girl somewhere other than Match.com.
Hey man, hey, I signed up for that eHarmony thing.
Hey, not all of us can go to Oklahoma and just drag one back with us.
Listen, touche.
Pretty close to being true on that one.
All right. Touche on that one. And two, I'm on datacougar.com, okay? So I'm trying, all right?
Am I on there?
No, I don't know. I don't search for Tony Watch.
Are you a cougar?
Yeah.
I mean, like,
oh, is you a cougar?
Yeah. All right, I'm done.
That's good.
So what did we learn here? We learned that men can sniff out. Yeah, I never even got my point out on that. I went to college in a school. Tim can back me up. That's me and Tim went to the same school in Florida. What was it, like,
see,
90%?
That's not the same.
Quiet. 90% men to 10% woman ratio. And I dated one girl primarily for the entire two-year tenure. God,
tender.
Tender. Legal. It was legal European tender.
Is that what they call that now?
Yeah. But you can sniff those motherfuckers a mile away.
Like I said, that's different.
Which were you
holding the only piece of
people
meat in a starving colony.
People who are trying to like subterfuge and be like, you know, Zach ain't that great of a guy.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah. No.
Yeah, so your
right.
girlfriend.
Going back to Mark's original question posed, which was, you know, do you feel
can you smell it?
Yeah. Can you smell it?
Yes,
yeah.
I can definitely smell it. I smell it all the time, even when I'm not dating people. I'm like.
I see what he's doing there.
I see what you're stepping in.
Yeah, I smell what you're stepping in. I pick up what you're putting down.
See, but I talked to a girl at work today, and she gave me all these reasons why they were engaged for like 3.5 years.
Is this Aaron?
Yeah, it is
Aaron's
Aaron.
Not going to listen.
She's not
going to
listen to
so
it anyway. So
I couldn't get past like 10 minutes of your show, but for 8 hours a day, you talk to us,
yeah,
nonstop. Like, why can't you just?
She's like, and that was the reason
minutes. She listens to you for 8 hours.
Yeah, exactly. That was the reasoning why she didn't want to get past the show.
She doesn't want to mix the home and
sipping
work.
On her chamomile tea.
Oh, I hope she listens to this one. So, you know, is that what we learned? We learned that men could do it? Did we come to a unanimous decision?
And ladies, stop us if you think that we're wrong. Please, please post
well, that's
some
my final
about
question
why you
is,
think that we're wrong. On,
do they
on
realize
segment.
It?
No. My final this? Question is it okay to be that guy?
I think not. I think
I don't think it is either.
I think that because I think if you know, maybe this is my problem, my mental block, the way I'm wired. If I'm gonna come in there all fucking sly and shifty and fucking be like, yo, I'm better than this fucking guy, and then she cheats on him, because this is the way they do it in the state. They don't break up with someone to date someone else. They get the job and work at the job for a month before they put their 2 weeks notice in.
Again, I think that that's more product of our
I'm not going. I'm not going. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm in this state now, and this is where most of our listeners are.
Yeah, I mean,
so that's where we're going.
I mean, come on, man. You're from the state that bred the show Jersey Shore.
They are all from Staten Island. Not a single one of them was born or raised in New Jersey.
Then why do they call the show Jersey Shore?
Marketing.
To give you a bad
because
name.
It's fun
because it's
to rag on Zach.
It's fun to rag on New Jersey. Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth on my show. Son of a bitch.
Pull his mic. Pull his mic.
Yeah. Oh, Tim, we couldn't hear you for the rest of the show. Weird. So, yeah, no, I don't think it's okay to be that guy, but I think a more important question is, women, do you notice? Because my ex-girlfriend, like, I'd be like, yo man, Tom likes the shit out of you, he's trying something. No, he's just, we're just friends, like, every time. Everybody
from how long has as Becca sounded like Dana.
Everyone sounds every woman voice I do is my Eastern European boss. No, what are you doing? Shut up. All right. So what else did we
learn? No, I don't think we're learning anything in this particular segment.
Well, I wanted to learn something.
I needed it. It was cathartic.
That's good. That's good word usage. Ladies, if you're listening, call us. We'll spat out the phone number at the end. I don't remember what it is.
You guys have a phone number?
We do have a phone number. You can leave us voicemails. 224-366-7814. Ladies, leave us a voicemail explaining why we're wrong or why we're right. We'd love to get it from your point of view. Did you guys hear about the remake of Annie?
Yes.
What?
You didn't hear about this?
No.
Let me guess. So the role of Annie is portrayed by Anne Hathaway.
Wrong.
And Daddy Warbucks is Tom Hardy.
Wrong.
Even better. Even wrong. Better than that.
Oh, that was Batman. Right. That's what that was.
Oh, wait.
Wrong.
Man, damn it.
Wrong. It's a Jay-Z production. With Willow Smith as Annie.
Willow Smith.
And from what I've heard and read.
Bing Rames.
Worse. Because yes, it doesn't Bing make Rames. Any sense.
Bing Rames would be all right. But
Will Smith as Daddy
Will
Warbucks.
Will Smith and child movie. It's
besides that, he's playing her adopted father and they look identical. Like, it's clear that's his daughter. In real life, like, she looks like 8-year-old Will Smith with long hair.
She's got the ears.
I want to know when Will Smith is going to cast his kids in a remake of Indiana Jones.
Oh, that's sacrilege.
I'm just telling you. I mean,
which Indiana Jones? Is it Temple of Doom?
Temple of Doom's fine.
I'm not going to crack a racial joke.
That's fine. I think it'd be our second one on the show.
Oh, really?
Do our first one.
In the imaginary jar for that?
No. It's not imaginary. There's an actual jar here.
You know what? If you're going to put them in something, put them in my empty can, because then I got to take it home, duct tape it, and throw it at my dog every time she bites something. Apparently, that's how you teach a dog not to do shit.
Haven't you heard of
beat the crap out of it.
That's how you raise a child, too. I mean, that's...
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's what I've
Tough
heard.
Love.
That's
Tough
what I've
love.
Heard. There's plenty of that going around.
So, no, going back to the Annie thing, though, I'm definitely going to say that, like, when I heard Hard Knock Life, like, 10 years ago, I definitely didn't think that they were going to take it to the next level and do an entire, like...
I like that song.
I don't care. I like that song.
I never said I didn't like the song. I just didn't think that we were going to go from Hard Knock Life to...
Annie the remake?
Yeah, Annie the remake.
Are you sure it's not Annie Get Your Gun, the remake?
Nepotism to the extreme.
Yeah, you got that right. That's what I'm saying. It's like, just because you're the product of Jada Pinkett and Will Smith doesn't automatically mean that you have talent.
No.
Okay? I haven't seen the Karate Kid remake.
How was it?
Have you heard about the school that they started and that their kids go to?
What? Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith have a school?
I don't know, and like, I'm going to go ahead and say that I don't know all the details of the school. I do know that that Will Smith and his wife Jada are co-founders and at the very least like board members or something to that effect. But it's a specialty school. It's one of those things where like the children's interest like dictates the classes that they're going to study. And I mean, like, please do a little bit of research on this. But I mean,
is this the movie Accepted?
I forget what they'd call those schools, but I don't like those schools at all.
Kindergarten.
It sounds.
What do you want to play with today?
You want a finger paint today?
It sounds like it sounds like a combination between Kindergarten Cop and Accepted.
No, man, there's a type of school they call it that they do that.
Yeah.
And I knew a girl in college that came out of one of those schools.
Yeah.
She couldn't do math.
No.
Like, at all. Like, no. Couldn't subtract. Like, because she just never had to learn it.
God damn it. I hate this.
I'm just waiting for some kid to go to that school, become a really big fan of your guys' show, be a 6-year-old podcaster, and get more fans than you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I believe it. I believe it.
First show.
Listen, we've gotten a lot of support from other podcasts. Like right out of the gate, Film Jitsu supports us. Bob and Dan Cast support us. Like for no reason.
I'm gonna get Drunken Zombie on your guys' side. Those
absolutely,
guys have
absolutely.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey,
and when we get more than 40 average listeners, I'll actually start you know, pitching them more. Right now, they're the only people that listen to the same people I talk to every day. And right. I'm like, listen to these goddamn podcasts.
And the people
podcasts.
That listen to the, that are in those podcasts. So,
yeah.
So, pitch them know, to themselves.
Yeah. Well, shameless plugs all around soon. Soon. That's why I didn't want to have you on the show until, like, we knew some news about, you know, Chance and L or something.
Oh, no. You know, there's nothing more that I want to do than sit in a 6x6 room around a 4x4 table with three of my best guy friends and stare at them.
Yeah, and talk.
Yeah, beautiful.
It's really, you really,
beautiful.
There's been a lot of vulnerability in this episode. I really like that. I really want this podcast to grow into that.
It's because we feel like we're in a Turkish spa.
That's fine. Like, I really want to get, like.
Are you commenting about how hot it is in here?
It's getting warm.
Warm by the second.
We are only 26 minutes in.
I take my shirt off, no, but I'm afraid that the time again.
Let me go get you a towel.
The time is now 9:30. So I'm going to come right out of the gate and say that I've watched what we're going to talk about three times in my entire life. Two of them have been with Tim. That's right. It's the Oscars, everybody.
Hey.
The nominations came out like 2 or 3 days ago. If you're listening to this on Sunday or Monday, it came out Wednesday, I believe.
Last week. Yeah.
Yeah. This past Wednesday. So yeah, we're gonna give you our at this point we're now, gonna give now, you our like, 8 cents.
I need a caveat here because are we voting for the things that we think are gonna win? Are we predicting, or are we gonna say the things that we would like to see win?
Well, aren't those one and the same?
No,
in my world, my predictions.
I.e., my Super Bowl predictions. You
yeah,
son of a bitch.
Exactly.
Did you understand though that he made his Super Bowl predictions in the preseason?
No, you have to understand. I was saying the same thing. I said the Ravens were totally going to go the same.
Yeah.
Bowl. I wasn't giving you shit about it. I was just pissed off because the Bears lost.
To
their archenemy on their home turf.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, that's we had a conversation today about their home turf.
But let's be totally honest. There is no way you cannot be proud of the Bears this year.
They were lucky.
Yeah,
as lucky as they were, like they still beat Philadelphia.
Yeah,
you know.
And thank God
they beat the Jets.
Yeah, they beat the Jets too.
Yeah,
those are good teams.
Yeah, they were having bad days.
Never.
The Jets put up 27 points on the Bears defense. That's not a bad day.
It doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Yeah. Winning's winning.
Yeah.
Why are you holding your microphone like that? It looks like you're smoking a cigarette.
Because I want a cigarette right now. No, I don't know
Virginia
why.
Like a Virginia
Slim?
It's a 120.
So moving, were we going to talk about Oscars?
Yes, we were talking about Oscars.
Sorry.
Natural segues. I don't really care. My predictions are who I want to win. So those are one
see,
and the same.
Yeah.
All right.
See,
well, if I met.
Yeah. Like mine are definitely predictions.
Well, let's
mine are not who I want to
say
win.
What I feel should win based on what I've seen. I wouldn't say, oh, well, I think that this one's going to win because that's what Hollywood's going to suggest.
Yeah.
You know? Louder. How's
a little
that?
Bit louder. Yeah. That's actually perfect.
Me.
That's good.
Okay.
I'm glad we're getting the sound check out half hour into the episode.
Right. But while we're on the topic,
that's gonna be the
Oscars,
intro joke.
I want to take a moment and talk about like why the Oscars are the preeminent like you know
here we
award
go.
Show.
Oh
here
no,
go.
Here we go.
Tim's an Oscar nut. He's like me with the IMDb. You ask him a question and he'll tell you.
Circa 1965
my looks
and beyond.
Like.
Anything before
yeah.
that, it's
yeah,
gonna be
good.
Sheer
right.
speculation. But nevertheless,
I'd like to thank all the little people.
Your microphone's gold too.
Yeah,
let me get a stop wrap it up box for you.
Or not in the in the room right now. My microphone is gold like an Oscar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goldfinger.
But seriously, the Oscars are the preeminent award show. I mean, you have the Golden Globes, you have the DGA. I mean, you have any number of different, you know, there's seriously a gross or more of different award shows that are
gross.
I just threw out a number, and I don't even know what a gross would equal. But that's
144.
Okay, well, there is not that many.
I think
all.
There are that many.
Well, nevertheless, the reason that the Oscars are the biggest one is just because everybody seems to contribute. It's one of the ones that's telecast and that kind of has a running audience and has a real legacy behind it. It's one of the ones that's been around the longest.
Yeah,
it's not
like
the
Emmys.
Exactly.
Nobody cares about.
Well, never.
No, that's the Grammys.
The People's Choice Award.
Oh, well.
I thought that was the Tonys.
I was going to get
that. Did I mention, did you see what picture won for the People's Choice Award?
What?
Which one?
Twilight.
That was what I was going to say. I was thinking about this on the way to the bar earlier.
That's because of Twitter.
You know, I was going to say.
Oh, yeah, probably.
the People's Choice Awards always pick the one that really and truly
well, how about obviously makes the most
well,
money.
Well, how about the Golden Globes where The Tourist starring Angelina Jolie and Johnny Depp was in the category of best comedy or musical.
It's neither one of those things.
No.
Well, and that's the problem with the Golden Globes. And I know that one of the biggest upsets for a lot of people was the fact that Christopher Nolan was not nominated for Best Director in the Academy Awards. And that he was nominated for Best Director in the Golden Globes. It's really easy for them to do that because 10 people are nominated for Best Director between comedy and musical and then between, you know, standard and dramatic, if you will. So the Golden Globes are great. I think Warren Beatty is quoted as saying, like, the Golden Globes are fun and the Oscars are business. So that's a little something for you to take on the road. And the reason, like I was saying before, is pretty much, you know, just the Golden Globes. The Golden Globes nominate everybody. If you did a good job this year, you got nominated for something at the Golden Globes. But if you're the best if you're overdue, you're getting nominated at the Oscars.
It won a couple.
Yeah, I concur.
Really?
Golden Globes.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
I don't think they do their thing.
So that being said about the Oscars, I mean, like, I'll give you that. They're real prestigious, which is why we're going to talk about them. We didn't talk about the Golden Globes because I, you know, kind of forgot that they were on. Ricky Gervais was an asshole too.
Oh, it's so great!
But now,
oh
like
God,
all these,
so
like
great.
I think it's like right wing fucking like politicians are like extending him support now. Or
oh yeah, because
shit.
He's like one of the only conservative comics out there.
And that's crazy.
Yeah, but he ripped into everyone.
Yes,
it was
great. But most people in Hollywood deserve to be ripped.
Oh yeah.
Into.
Yes,
so
they do.
I'm just
oh, yeah.
gonna, you know.
Here's another one for the jar, absolutely.
And I just have to say, after watching The Golden Globes, my girlfriend's been giving me crap about this for the last week and a half. I think Natalie Portman's creepy now. Like, she is legitimately creepy. Like,
a little
that
bit.
Laugh when she's like, oh, my husband, or the guy who got me pregnant, now he's like my husband. Like,
he said he would never bang me, and
well,
now he gets to do it all the time.
That's what happens when you lose, like, 35 pounds for a role. Yeah. You turn into a psychopath, i.e.
Christian
Bale.
She's kind of creepy.
We do a lot of unison shit on this show.
Yeah.
You notice that? That's weird.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's because you guys have been dating for 2 months.
Yeah.
Hey.
No, it's
hey.
Vulcan mind meld.
Yeah.
Wow, I don't even know where that
was. Was that a Star Trek reference?
It might have been.
Come on, look what show you're on.
Yeah.
This is the horror side of things. I don't
know. Did you not notice that our Four Sense logo is this?
It's
Star Trek writing.
No, but that's the Blade Runner font.
Is that the Blade Runner font, too?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We're nerds here.
Yeah.
So Oscars, we're just going to dive into this since we're trying, you know, we're tangenting so hard. We're going to have you guys back on here for a show that we plan absolutely nothing to talk about.
All right,
fair enough.
That's fine.
But all right. So where do you want me to, so where are we going?
Well, I figure we save the best for last. So what we're going to do is, you know, you've got four giant movie buffs, three people who actually try to get into the business. We got our foots in the doors in different places. Elbows and windows.
Yeah, some people are already in the music.
Yeah, well,
business.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm
not making money at it, but
listen, I'm trying to make me sound better.
Hey,
than
raise
my
your
guests.
Hand. Raise your hand if you're on demand.
Oh, Tony
is on demand.
Tony watches other film. It's My Party and I'll Die If I Want To.
Which I still haven't seen.
It's really good.
No, I haven't seen it.
Should have rented it on demand. Asshole.
We can't wait. Is it on AT&T's on demand?
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Which I don't think I ever saw a cent of that, so don't rent it on demand because they're shysters and they'll keep it all for themselves.
Oh, good.
How's that for promoting my distribution company?
buy from scotchworthyproductions.com.
Yeah,
shameless
dude,
plug for.
I'll just let you borrow one of my DVDs.
Oh, okay.
All right. But moving
shelves
on.
And
moving
shelves
on.
Of
how do you want to do this? Do you want to go down the list and you want to name every nomination?
We're just
going to
write it all written here.
It's not like Halloween.
We're just going to go.
You don't have like 8 of them?
No.
Hey, shut it.
We need to have an episode where you allow me to come back, you invite me to come back onto the show, and we just sit here for half an hour and come up with the stupidest movies that had huge budgets on them. I mean, seriously, the Human Centipede.
That's like Elektra.
Easily a $2 million budget. Elektra? Yeah.
Yeah.
Even Daredevil, for that matter.
Yeah.
That movie was fucking terrible. Sorry for the language. That movie was terrible.
Oh, it's awful.
And it's like, what, $30 million movie?
Yeah.
Human Centipede. Everybody's talking about that movie. My half-sister from Denver was like, have you heard of the movie Human Centipede? She doesn't watch horror films. And she's like, oh, I've heard of it, yada, yada, yada.
Wait, but that movie had, like, no budget, though.
Human Centipede easily had at least 1.5.
You think?
I haven't seen it.
Didn't have any actors in it.
If you look at the visual quality of the film itself, easily one.
Oh, tool. Just be like how it was shot.
The way it was shot. Okay. And everything. You can tell it had production value. And just, you know, bottom line is who the hell gives somebody $1 million to make a movie about sewing three people's ass to mouths together? You know?
In a perfect world.
You think he shysters some people. Idea. He probably tricks some people.
Don't even get us started on the topic of people who are making movies for budgets that are ludicrous that shouldn't be making movies for that budget.
Ooh, a bowl.
Michael Bay is another one as of recent.
I don't know if it's him or if it's Uli Lommel because I get the two of them mixed up because they both make shitty movies.
Yeah.
But on Netflix Instant Queue, one of them, I think it's Ooh, a bowl, did a movie called Rampage where it's about this dude who just, he's in a small town and he just decides, you know what, I'm going to go on a killing rampage.
You mean Postal?
No. It's like Postal, but Postal's I think more of a comedy.
Yeah, Postal's U Bowl, so this Rampage has to be the other guy.
Either way, it's just, it's on Instant.
Be careful
Q,
with that, Tim.
And it's a cool movie. It really is. I watched it and I was just like, I couldn't believe that they did in the movie what they did. And it had no budget.
Well, I mean, did you see Postal? I couldn't believe that in the beginning of Postal, that 9/11 joke.
I have it sitting on my shelf. Jason let me borrow it and I haven't watched it.
Dude,
it's on the Instant Queue.
Just watch the first 5 minutes and you could turn it off. The movie's quite terrible, but you have to, just to, for the sake of seeing it, you have to see the first 5 minutes. Ubel did that movie. It's got a 9/11 joke, which is just terrible. And now I've come to know that he's doing, Ubel the German is doing a Holocaust film.
Oh,
so the Oscars. So the Oscars.
The Academy Awards.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. We're just going to do
we're
the
just going to wing this.
We're just going to do, you know what, we were going to do the majority of categories. We're going to do Best Picture, Actor, Actress, and Directing.
Well, no, we should do the supporting.
No, that's Actress.
What about animated? Can we do animated?
For
all
sure.
Three?
All
three animated?
I have some comments on that.
I have a couple of comments.
Okay.
Sure.
All right, well, we'll start with animated. This year, animated films, there's three movies.
Yes.
Yeah, How to Train Your Dragon, The Illusionist, not to be confused with the Edward Norton film.
Thank God.
Which was not animated. And Toy Story 3. I didn't see How to Train Your Dragon, but I heard it was delightful.
How to Train Your Dragon was fantastic.
That's the only word I've ever heard it described as by numerous people. It's delightful.
How to Train Your Dragon was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Dink.
I don't watch cartoons.
Okay.
That's bullshit.
That's fine.
You should.
That's fine.
They're the best.
But I was having a conversation with myself here, and I said, you know, well, who do I think should win? And I was like, How to Train Your Dragon was great. Toy Story 3 was Toy Story 3.
Toy Story 3 made
so that,
don't just,
so that,
don't just Toy Story 3.
That's
Toy
why
Story
I had to look
3.
At you when I
Listen,
said that.
I don't like it any better than you that every time Pixar puts out a movie, it's sheer gold. Like, more often than
cars,
not.
Even
this
cars.
This is coming from the guy who has a Buzz Lightyear doll in his bed.
No, this isn't true at all.
Well,
but never
the other one's got Buzz Lightyear on his Facebook. So
At any rate, I did not see How to Train Your Dragon, although I heard the exact same thing that Zach
It's delightful.
Heard. It's supposed to be
I have
really,
the movie.
Really,
you guys
really
need
good.
To watch this movie.
We will watch it later tonight. I'm down, whatever. But pretty much what I'm getting at here is that Toy Story 3...
Toy Story 3 really played up nostalgia.
No.
Is what I'm saying.
This is
that is my problem with the movie. I love Toy Story 3. Don't get me wrong. Like, I shed a tear at the end, everyone else did.
Listen,
but
that's my point.
Nostalgia is what Toy Story 3 had running for it.
That's my point. Toy Story 3 is going to take away this and Best Picture. I'm jumping the gun here.
When I saw the dog, I cried like a little girl.
Listen to me. this is how I know Toy Story 3 is going to win every category, even though it wasn't nominated for every category. It made grown-ass men cry across America.
Yeah.
Cry.
May I also add very briefly
no, you may not.
That this is the second time, to my knowledge, that an animated picture has ever been nominated
for
Best
Picture. Well,
what was the
other time? Beauty and the Beast.
It was Beauty and the Beast in 1991. It lost to Silence of the Lambs.
See, this is why Tim's on the Oscar show, because he knows all this crap.
But, I mean, it's not going
to
win.
Speaking
Best
of which,
Picture.
Do you think somebody
you
needs
right
more than 15
now.
Minutes of screen time to win Best Supporting Actor?
Best supporting actor?
It was best actor, wasn't it? Didn't he win best actor?
Who? What? When?
Yeah,
where?
What frame of reference?
I was talking about Silence of the Lambs.
Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins, Silence of the Lambs. Best supporting actor?
Right? I think he was definitely in it for more than 15 minutes, bro. I'm just going to
I don't think so. I think that's the big thing.
Would you like to wager a small...
I don't want to wager, but I'm just saying. I think that's the big thing about him winning that award is that he was only on screen for...
Why don't you... I mean, like, the sequence alone where he's, like, getting ready to crucify the guy is longer than 15 minutes.
So I don't have to
Don't even worry about it. I'll get to the bottom of this in a minute. But nevertheless, Toy Story 3 will win Best Animated Picture.
So Tim's on that.
Hands down, end of story. That's it.
Tony, thoughts?
I don't watch. I haven't. The last animated film I watched was WALL-E, which I loved. I absolutely
it's like fantastic. That's my favorite animated film, period.
And that's the thing. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love those movies. Finding Nemo, incredible movie. Mm-hmm. You know, WALL-E, Monsters, Inc. I love those movies. But I'm a 30-year-old man. I'm not going to sit down.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm not going to a movie theater.
I've got up on my Netflix instant queue right now. And my girlfriend keeps saying, oh, you should watch it. It's a really good movie. And I'm sure it's spectacular. But I'm not going to sit down after working all day and be like,
I'm going to watch
Up. Put my foot up on the couch. I think I'm going to have a Coors Light and watch Up.
What was it? What did we watch before? Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. So we watched...
Redneck Zombies.
No, we watched 500 Days of Summer.
That movie's awesome.
I love that movie. That movie but then we followed 500 Days of Summer with Up.
Terrible choice.
It was I was like, you're all going to break down.
I was an emotional wreck.
The first 10 minutes Up is like
why do you guys,
emotional
I mean,
tugging.
Why did we do that to ourselves?
Oh, you guys are like the party house. Like it's like four of my guy friends living in a old big house together with a bunch of movies. And there's always beer in the fridge. And there's a carousel spindle of hard liquor.
That doesn't
spin. Shelf down there that doesn't spin, but it looks like it should.
It does.
And all you got to do is remove that glue. Yeah. And you guys are watching Up. Like, put on 300. And
fuck 300.
I don't even care for that movie. But I'm just saying, put something on that's like a man on it. You
We're
know?
Eclectic.
We watch Home Improvement. Is that okay?
Are you going to start barking at me now?
No, not in the slightest. I actually didn't like Home Improvement.
Okay,
too.
So Mark, you're coming back
really briefly to the Anthony Hopkins bit right now. It says Anthony Hopkins had the shortest screen time for his Best Actor Oscar win as Hannibal, the Cannibal Lecter in Silence of the Lambs, supposedly 16 minutes of screen time. And interesting.
Oh, who was right? I think I was.
That it says supposedly on the trivia site.
Oh,
so we will have to go and Matt.
No, no, we're not. We're just going to assume that Mark is right.
As a first-time guest, promise the listeners that I will get to the bottom of this personally.
We have 35 episodes later when we have
I
him
did
back
say
on
it on episode one that on this show that we would state our opinions regardless if we could back them up. So, Tim, it makes me real proud that you're going to try and back up your opinion.
Mark's going to get proven wrong here.
Oh, Mark will
so
be
would
served.
Would that make him the fact? Factionator?
The factionatrix.
I do not accept this nickname.
That's
See,
fine.
I think like Anthony Hopkins only being on screen for 15 minutes is totally legitimate to having that as, you know, being the supporting actor. I mean, look at like
But he wasn't
Walken
supporting.
In,
he won Best Actor.
In True Romance. You know, I mean, that dude totally should have been nominated for Best
Who?
Christopher Walken in True Romance.
True, maybe supporting actor, and I'm all for True Romance. Yeah, but not actor. And
that's what I'm saying. Is best supporting actor, like somebody like that who only has a small part in a movie but totally played a significant role. I totally think that Anthony Hopkins totally deserved it for that.
Oh, no, yeah. And I completely agree because his legacy in the movie carried the movie the entire time. And whenever it came to stories or hearsay that you'd heard about Hannibal and then you finally meet Hannibal, like he played through all of that and he lived up to the legacy that the other characters were, you know, spinning you. So, I mean, like
True.
In essence, he did carry the entire movie.
I always thought it was kind of funny and I know we're totally off topic.
Oh,
here.
We're way off.
Fine. Fine.
I always thought it was really funny that Silence of the Lambs is the second...
Wait, you thought Silence of the Lambs was funny?
No. Yes. Hysterical.
You sick fuck.
When that dude was like, I can smell you coming.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
You wanted to be that guy.
I totally laughed. I laughed, I cried, you know. But no, I just think it's so funny that like that movie came out and it was like this huge blockbuster success for an independent film because it was an independent film at the time. And the fact of the matter is it was the second movie in that story.
Right.
You know, Manhunter came out years before by Michael Mann.
What a F. Mary Abraham.
I love Manhunter.
When was the last time you saw Manhunter?
Seriously, Michael Mann is one of my favorite directors. So
Have you been loving Tony Scott. Like,
really?
Top Gun was incredible.
Wait. Top Gun was not Ridley Scott or Tony Scott.
Top Gun is Tony Scott.
I thought that was Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer.
You are absolutely incorrect.
They produced it.
I'm not sure that Jerry Bruckheimer even produced it, but I'll get to the bottom of that right now while we continue.
Please do look that up. But bottom line is, you know what? You may not be a fan of Michael Mann. That's totally cool.
The Matrix.
Heat is one of my favorite fucking movies, okay? Bottom line. But
Heat is so boring.
Heat is not boring.
Heat is great the first time you watch it.
Oh, my God.
No.
Heat is super boring.
High five, Tim.
What?
Right.
Oh!
If the movie had actually been about the rivalry between a top criminal and a top investigator, it would have been an interesting movie. That having been said, we had so many digressions.
The thin red line is incredibly boring. We had more digressions
in that movie than we do on this show, okay? And that is saying a lot.
I love that movie, and I love most of Michael
Mann's
natural
movies. Segue like a champ.
Yes, we do.
No,
all right, Oscars.
Actress, we're going back to this.
You want to go? Yeah, I'll commandeer.
Yeah, take the show. Take the show for a minute.
You want to start with the actress? I mean, I'm not going to go through all the different nominations and what have you. I will say that Natalie Portman did win in the Golden Globes for Black Swan, and I guarantee you that she will win the Oscar.
Yeah, she will.
Because she's fantastic in that movie.
See
it. Can I borrow it? Like, is it? On...
It's, we have it on a hard drive.
Yeah, I can give it to you
legally.
Legally on a hard drive before it's on the computer or on my flash drive.
I can watch it on my PS3.
Oh yeah,
I want to borrow it.
Yeah.
All right, okay. So
she is great. She's great in that role.
Yeah, I agree with Tim because I have not seen any of the other movies that actresses, and I don't care for Annette Bening. Nicole Kidman creeps me out.
You don't even have to. Like,
I don't know who Jennifer Lawrence is, and Michelle Williams in Blue Valentine's. I don't.
The movie that you really want to see, Blue Valentine.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dink.
Is Jennifer Lawrence the young girl from Winter's Bone?
Is that the love interest from Can't Hardly Wait?
I think she's the older woman from Winter's Bone. I think the younger girl is... I got nothing.
Okay.
I only have one woman's name.
I really want to see Winter's Bone. I was doing a lot of research on that because it was shot on the red camera, and it won the Grand Jury Prize for Best Picture at Sundance last year.
Is that the one about the kids that go to like some private boarding school?
No, I think the kids are all right.
Oh, okay.
It's like in the Ozarks, and... their father, like this family's father, disappears. And I guess he's like a drug dealer or something. And so, like, the 17-year-old daughter has to go and find him because the bank comes and says, "We're going to take your house." And by house, it's like a little two.
Are you sure this
cottage,
isn't True Grit that you're talking about right
no,
now?
No, it's not. It's, you know, but it, I mean, the movie looks really good. It looks depressing as hell, but, it, you know, like I said, it was shot in the red and. And I don't know, it just looks really cool. So I want to see that. And I'm really impressed that it's been nominated for all these awards.
Very cool.
It's a Redbox rental.
Oh, absolutely. I'm down for a dollar.
Well, what I mean is it's in right now.
Please keep doing that. I am done saying that.
That's why episode one was titled as such.
Anyway, actor.
Absolutely.
Colin Firth.
Dink. Yeah, Colin
Kings,
Firth.
In the King's
I'm hearing a lot of good things about it.
Colin
I haven't
Firth.
Seen it.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard anything about it until I watched an episode of The Colbert Report and saw some footage from it. Obviously, they give every movie a bump
Shameless
whenever
plug.
They do that. Yeah.
Yeah,
no, for sure. And I got to tell you that anything... with Jeffrey Rush in it, I'm all on board for it anyway.
I do love Jeffrey Rush.
13 Ghosts.
He's not in 13 Ghosts. That's F. Murray Abraham.
Was it?
Yeah.
He was in Shine.
Yeah.
I always get my Dark Castle movies messed up. Vincent Price's.
I don't really hate 13 Ghosts. I like that movie.
I didn't mind the corner.
I don't think I ever saw 13 Ghosts.
With, what's his name? Tony Shalhoub?
Isn't there a monk, who's the girl in there?
Shannon Elizabeth.
Yeah, I never saw that one.
It's really not that good.
Yeah, Matthew Lillard.
Like, an episode of House.
The only reason Zach's
like,
okay
really
with
really
that movie is
because
there's a naked chick running around for portions of it. And
the naked lacerated ghost woman?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
No.
Black
Wait.
Context.
I'm not fine with that.
You were then.
No,
you
I'm.
May not
I mean,
be
like,
now,
listen.
But...
Wait,
I know.
Is 13 Ghosts where they have them all locked up
in the house?
Oh, I totally saw that.
Listen, I know last week.
2 out of 5.
I know last week that I said that the whole Simpsons porn thing didn't bother me because I've got a thing for Marge Simpson. That doesn't mean I have a thing for the naked ghost in 13 Ghosts. That's gross.
Best director.
Are we going to best director already?
Oh, I totally crossed this out.
How did Christopher Nolan not get nominated?
That is why I skipped Best Director.
I totally crossed this out. Yeah.
Let's take a look at it. To be honest, I was also
Aronofsky's
going to
take it.
But again, Aronofsky is not going to take it.
He's
going
to take it. It should go to the Coens. True Grit was incredible.
Maybe somebody needs to explain this to me.
Hold on, Tony. Yeah. You need to say that a little louder so we can get that in there.
It's going to go to David Fincher.
Why?
For The Social Network?
Yeah.
That was a fantastic film. I thought that movie was awesome.
Well, somebody needs to explain this to me. Somebody really needs to explain this to me.
I'm sorry I didn't go to the theater and see it with you. It was just one of those movies where I looked at it and I was like, why the hell am I
The subject matter is god-awful boring, but the movie is incredible.
The whole point behind the movie is awesome.
What do you want?
People need to explain the difference between best movie and best director to me.
Best director.
Really, they do.
It's not because I
have issues.
You'll figure it out in 2 seconds.
Didn't last year the best director win the best movie?
It's producer. Yeah. I'll sum it up in one word. Best picture goes to the producer.
But that's fine, but how do you tell the difference? How do you tell the difference between a really good movie and a really good director?
That's where the politics comes in. We've got a really good director on the show, and I will say that. No, we do. We do. And we have people who have a lot
of
experience.
Have you seen my movies?
Anyway.
I was there.
Anyway. So what was your question exactly?
How do you tell the difference between a good movie and a good director?
Usually, in the history of the Academy Awards, the two awards usually win together. Now, there's usually an outlier, okay? And the difference between the best picture and the best director and why they don't always win together is because there is a huge difference between what you consider the best movie of the year and what you consider the best made movie of the year. Usually, those two things go together. However, they do not necessarily go together at the same time. So, that having been said, Tony, it looked like you were going to jump on board and say something.
No, I was saying hold your microphone like this.
Oh, okay.
Make it a lot better.
Okay, so that apparently is the
trick. It's
directional. So, if you've been having trouble hearing me up until this point, I'm sure Zach has corrected it.
He was holding it like a cigarette before.
But just going back to what I was saying before, the best movie and the best made movie is usually the distinction. And usually the two go hand in hand. That is not always the case, or it is not always the case between or how the voters feel. And you've also got to take into consideration
because best writing, the best writing doesn't always win the best picture either.
I said the best movie of the year, and then the best made movie of the year, and then the best conceived. Okay, and there's
would you say the biggest inception of the year?
In all seriousness, the best script of the year. If the best script of the year isn't the best movie of the year, then oftentimes I found that like the script was so good and could have been done.
So we're talking about like trying to get the best out of your actors and precisely.
And that's not always in fact the case too, although usually in this category it is. There is a fine line, and I know that the reason when Zach jumped on board at the beginning and mentioned that he wasn't a big fan because of the politics and all that stuff, obviously there's politics in this thing, but at the same time it's also complicated, which is why we call it politics, because that's the easiest thing to liken it to. But I would say that the Oscars, it's not always, I think, as political as people feel. Sometimes I feel like they're just paying dues. For example, when Martin Scorsese won for The Departed, that was not his Oscar-worthy work.
And Whoopi
Goldberg.
John Wayne. John Wayne for True
John
Grit.
Wayne.
For True Grit. Yeah. So there are certain moments where you're like, listen, this guy deserves an Oscar.
Shenanigan moments, if you will.
You know, we'll call it whatever you want. We can go with shenanigan moments for sure. But I'm not sure that it's necessarily so much political as it is like you've put in your time, you've paid your dues, and movie making is first and foremost a business. Let's never forget that. And after you've put in a certain amount of time, you deserve some recognition. Everybody who retires from the company gets a watch, right?
I thought it was supposed to be labors of love. I thought that's what movie making was, labors of love. That's why Tim's helping me produce stuff.
That's like he talks like a producer.
Oh, I see.
We're gonna have a labors of love jar coming up soon. That's like the seventh time you said
that
in two episodes.
Oh no,
dink.
All right, but while we're on the topic, best
I'll
director,
put a quarter in there for you.
Best director will go to David Fincher.
You think so?
I do, and if it doesn't go to David Fincher, it will go to Aronofsky. Mark my words.
I hate Aronofsky. I think it's going to go to him.
Now that's the Pie Guy, right?
Yeah, and Requiem for a Dream, and Fountain, which was totally
off of what he normally does. But
right,
yeah. Well, at least he's venturing outside the box. I would even put David O. Russell for The Fighter up there.
I've heard nothing but good things, and I haven't seen
the movie, but this much I can tell you, anybody who has ever worked with David O. Russell has said that he's a motherfucker. And
what else has he done?
He's done Three Kings. He's done I Heart Huckabees. Yeah, he's done. And if you have not seen the I Heart Huckabees fight between Angelica Houston and David O. Russell,
please go
on YouTube right now. Pause
what?
The podcast.
I've never seen this. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, we'll watch it as soon
as
we get
done. I've never seen a director lose his shit like that, ever.
Ever. Moving on. All right. Best picture.
Sweet.
Best picture
will go to Social Network, hands down. If it doesn't, it will go to Black Swan or The Fighter.
I put Black Swan. It's going to be
The Social Network. Mark my
words.
What
else is nominated for
I think best picture was... I got it.
My apologies.
Hey, you give me back my show for a minute.
Okay, fine.
Oh, boy.
Best picture is Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, which I pray to God Inception wins because he's not for best director. The Kids Are All Right, King's Speech, 127 Hours, Social Network, True Grit, Toy Story 3, and Winter's Bone. There's a lot.
And this is a recent thing, too. It was not always 10.
No, it's like
pictures.
last couple of years now.
Yeah. Last year was the first year that it happened, and I'm actually surprised for a couple of reasons. When they said that they announced the 10 best pictures, they also said that they were going to do away with the animated category, or so it was hearsay
so
at the time.
So it was combined.
Well, that's why I don't understand that the animated category has three.
Exactly. And that's been the case
since Inception, because they separated animated. The animated category
didn't even come into play until the early 2000s.
Well, right, and they have all sorts of separate animated categories as well.
Like animated shorts. Mark's correct about that, for sure.
But Toy Story's in Best Picture and Animated. So
which I was totally surprised, because when I saw Toy Story in the Best Picture category, I instantly thought of Beauty and the Beast, which to my knowledge is the only other movie that's had it nominated for Best Picture. And then when I also saw that it was nominated in Best Animated Feature, I thought that they were doing away with that in the first place. So I truly do not know what's going on with all of that at all. I can tell you that
Maybe they just wanted to recognize How to Train Your Dragon. And the other movie, and they needed to leave the animated.
I heard a lot of good things about The Illusionist. I didn't see it yet, but I thoroughly enjoy cartoons. It's a French cartoon. Like, I've heard good things. I haven't seen it, but
I like their fries.
I do.
Freedom fries?
Yeah.
Freedom fries.
Yeah, you get that French nonsense out of my house. Freedom toast.
All right.
Toast time. Tim, Tony. It was a pleasure having you guys on the show.
Thank you very much for having us.
We got nothing accomplished. That's part of the fun of the show.
The fun of the show is really just feeding off the energy and the conversation.
I think this might be two shows.
Yeah.
I think we're going to divide it.
Mark doesn't have a say on that.
Oh,
I edit these things. I totally get a say. The day you learn how
to
use Final Cut Pro and can help me edit these things is the day that you have a say on the editing.
Oh, okay.
No, but I'm so much faster editing with that than I am with any other program. Like,
you know, bottom line, I really wanted an excuse to be able to have a couple of beers, and to be able to do it with you guys really made me happy.
I'm glad you had
really
fun.
Made me happy.
I'm glad.
I love my ward.
Your gold microphone. There's a backstory behind that microphone.
There is, yes.
But we'll tell it next week, I guess. Yeah. Maybe, because it's kind of a long story.
If you want to leave us a message, we said earlier, ladies, you know, call us on that note. You know, if you forgot what we talked about, go back, re-listen to it. Tell us if you think we're right or wrong. 224-366-7814. We're on the Facebook and the Twitter. And you could always find us at r4sense.blogspot.com or iTunes and some other. We're on some Droid podcast directories now. So you Droid users get your free crappy apps, iPod Forever and
Forever.
iPhone, oh, iPhone, iPhone.
That's going to be the war later. That's going to be a war in the next episode.
Thanks for having me on, Zach and Mark. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks for being here, guys.